Happy Thanksgiving, I guess. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and so my dad always said, it's the wrong time of the year. Dad grew up Low German, probably being his main language. And so when you, I think he had it in a High German saying, and so anyway, I'm not going to try to say that, but Fred has already drawn attention to it. It's Thanksgiving for the bountiful harvest. And Dad said October, the first weekend here in October, second, whatever it is too early. My crop is still on the field. How in the world am I supposed to be thankful for something that is still out in the field? He said the Americans have a much better idea. Having it in November is a much better time. We have more opportunity to get the crop in. Well, Dad might have been right. Dad might have been wrong. I think I've been challenged a little bit this week as I prepared for this. Is it important to be thankful? Well, I think it is. And so I searched up the word thank in the Bible. We have a wonderful computer. So you just punch in this word and it comes up in various forms. Forms like thanks, thankfulness, thanksgiving, etc. And so as our versions of the Bible are different, so how they translate this also is a little bit different. And so the NIV puts it in there 133 times. The NASB puts it in there 170 times. The New King James Version 139 times. The ESV 162 times. And I think you get the idea. It's in there quite a bit. Many of our Psalms have this idea of thanksgiving when we read over them. So I ask you a question this morning, maybe myself. Are you a thankful person? I think we'd like to say that we are. But what if you're not? What if you're not a thankful person? How much time have you spent this weekend on being thankful? It's Thanksgiving weekend. Or has your energy or efforts gone into the festival of being thankful rather than on being thankful? So in Amos 4, 4 to 6, we read this. Go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin even more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your freewill offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, because this is what you love to do, declares the Sovereign Lord. You see, this isn't actually what God is telling the people of Israel to do. It's God speaking sarcastically. It's more like what we read in Isaiah 29:13, where it says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. It's weakened to be thankful, and so we do it. But are our hearts really in it? If you are a thankful person, what does that look like? It's got to be more than an outward action. It's got to be more than just words. And so this is where I got my sermon title from, Generating a Thankful Spirit. I thought about this week, and so I said, what am I thankful for? Well, the first thing I came up with is I'm thankful for my wife. She doesn't always know it, but I am thankful for my wife. But what does that mean? So if God chose to take my wife away, would I still be thankful? I'm thankful for my children. But if I didn't have them, would I be less thankful? I'm also thankful for my home. But if I had less, Could I still be thankful? These stories that we hear of the devastation of Hurricane Matthew that Fred shared with us, can this lady still be thankful? She has lost what looks to us like everything. So are you a thankful person? Is your cup half full or is it half empty? We call this, we talk about this, and we say this is the difference between between pessimists and optimists. But I'm saying this is the difference between being thankful and being unthankful or ungrateful. So when you look at all these different words of being thankful in the scriptures, and they are all over the Bible, they're front, back, and in the middle, where do you go when you start speaking of thankfulness? Well, one sermon is definitely not going to get it done. But we'll do our best. So hopefully your meal at home is on low so that you can stay an extra hour. No, I'm kidding. I struggled with this when I was choosing a passage for the Orleski family to read. Which one do I get? Which one's going to communicate this? And it's just like, just pick one, Russ. They're all applicable. So we picked out of Psalms, and that's exactly where I'm going to be this morning. I'm in Psalm chapter 107. I have chosen to use the NASB this morning. And so as a result, we are not going to have it up on our screen because the NASB isn't one of our apps or whatever. It begins like this. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And I'm going to stop right there. Maybe this is enough. Maybe having a spirit of being thankful is more about who you are thankful to than what you are thankful for. Maybe that's it. You see, if my thankfulness is wrapped up in the Lord, then my thankfulness doesn't fluctuate. It stays constant. It's unchanging. If my thankfulness is wrapped up in my circumstances, then when my new truck breaks down, I become unthankful. And I lose sight of how many people would just love to have a vehicle that they could fix. Does it surprise us when the world needs more and more and more? And that I am unthankful when I don't have. And then we put a blank. You can put in there whatever you want. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is good. We have this saying that God is good, and then the other person says, all the time. And then I say, all the time, God is good. Do we believe it? Maybe we don't see it. And like we talked a little bit about in Christian Life class this morning, how can there be evil and God still say it is good? Because we can't see the whole picture. And so you accept by faith that God is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. God's kindness, his love towards you, has no end. Our songs this morning speak of that. This is truly something to be thankful for. Verse 2 starts with, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Do you believe that God is good? Are you saying so? Here's a challenge. Or are we so wound up in our day-to-day things that we are allowing those things to steal our joy, our thankfulness? When Tim Newfield was here, he sang this song, "Nothing's Gonna Steal My Joy Away." But are we letting our circumstances that are around us steal our joy, our thankfulness? How often do we express our thankfulness? And so now when we see that, we have to remember that real thankfulness, it needs to be real thankfulness and not just empty words. Because God sees right through our fakeness. Israel was doing a wonderful job of bringing all of these things, yet God says, "Your hearts are far from me. I can see right through you." We had a video that we were supposed to play up here during the while we were taking up the offering. And so I am thankful for technology. Sometimes I'm more thankful than others, and I think Michelle is probably not overly thankful for her technology this morning. But that's okay. We'll still get through. It's not a big thing. It's not a life-changing thing that we couldn't play this one video. But it comes out of the book of Daniel. At least I believe that's where it came from. And so if you read in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that you couldn't pray to anyone except to King Darius, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before." So what did Daniel pray? We're not told a whole lot of details. But what we get is that he gave thanks to God. Daniel wasn't in a great situation. And yet, he goes up to his room three times a day and prays, giving thanks to God, just like he had done before. It reminds us that we need to come back to this thankful attitude. We need to cultivate or generate this thankful spirit. It's what Daniel did. It was his habit to be thankful. And so I would encourage you to say it. Say it out loud. Say it where other people can hear you. I remember a friend of mine who had gotten very used to lying. As a matter of fact, I don't trust him anymore. I am constantly on edge and constantly watching his words whenever I do get a chance to talk to him. I'm always on guard. I can never be sure whether he is telling the truth or telling a lie. But as I have watched him, I firmly believe that he has become convinced in his heart that his lies are true. That's why he can speak so convincingly to me. Many of us do this unconscientiously. It's why we study books like Lies Women Believe. I'm thinking there's got to be one for men, but I just haven't found it yet. It's the opposite end of this principle. If you convince yourself, you will be. He has convinced himself in his lies that his lies are truth. If we convince ourselves that we are thankful, we will become more thankful. And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you are thankful, then say so. If you want to be thankful, then say so. But if you focus on being ungrateful and the negative things in your life and complaining, you will become a chronic complainer. It's just the natural progression of things. I wish that people could say of me that I am a chronically thankful person. We generally don't say it that way because we say chronic for us is a negative term and thankful is a positive. We don't put those two together. But am I chronically thankful? So these first few verses in Psalm 107 set the stage for the rest of the book, like many other of our writings do. I want to read through it because I think in reading through it, we will convince ourselves, if we are willing, that the Lord is good and his loving kindness lasts forever. And so I will start again at the beginning. Follow along with me as best as you can. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in the desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. There were those who dwelt in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners of misery and chains. Because they had rebelled against the words of God and had spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Do you see what's happening here? They didn't give thanks to the Lord. They weren't thankful towards God, and so God created or allowed situations to come to them that would turn them back to himself. Verse 14 continues, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. I'm going to stop there a little bit because this one struck me. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. There was food, but they didn't like it. Actually, the word that is used here is more like hate. I hated what I was given. This talks of a spiritual sense, but I think of it as in the physical sense as well, and I want to draw a parallel. We have so much food that we get picky. Are we thankful for the food on our plate? I don't like peas, but there's peas on my plate. Reminds me of a little kid who was asked to say grace, and do I really have to thank God for the asparagus? If you are hungry, you couldn't care less if there's asparagus on your plate or not. You're going to eat it because you need nourishment. But in the spiritual way, we are exactly the same way. If the spiritual food isn't served to us just right, then we reject it. If it's not the right flavor of spiritual food, we reject it. We abhor it. I have lots of friends, and I have some wonderful ones, and I have some that make me laugh. This one individual went into a restaurant, and he ordered his meal of chicken. And he proceeded to eat his chicken meal. And at the end, when the waitress came by, he pointed out his plate was completely empty. He pointed out the feather that was on the table or on his plate there, and he says, I didn't order that. I hope you won't charge me for that. But he had cleaned out his entire plate. Now I also know some people that would have, as soon as they had seen that feather, they would have pushed that plate aside and said, please take this back and bring me another plate. There was nothing wrong with this food. Some of the foods that our older people like, we don't like anymore. We have gotten used to eating many, some of our ancestors got used to eating different kinds of food because they just had to use all of the animal. Today, we are grossed out by them, and yet they are foods that can sustain us. Is our spiritual food the same way? Do we use all, or do we just pick out the parts that we want? And yet the parts that are less desirable, we push away, and yet they're nourishing for our souls. Are we spiritually hungry or are we spiritually picky? Proverbs 27:7 says, one who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Moses warns the people of Israel before they head into the promised land. They'd spent 40 years in the desert eating this, well, it's the same meal every single day. We can't even imagine. But Moses warns the people not to turn and forget about God. So it seems that there would be temptation to forget God when the blessings came. And that is exactly what happened. When you read further through that story, I want to continue in Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, those who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders of the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted them up on the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. I've never been on a boat like this, but I have heard some stories of guys on little fishing boats and the waves way up here, and then way down there, and the waves are way up there. You can't see nothing else other than the wave. And you're just up and down and up and down. I know my stomach just turns when I think of this because I don't even like water. This is what God created for them. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. He changes rivers into wilderness and springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so that they may be established in an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. God is good all the time. God blesses us to turn us to himself. But God has another option. God sends us stress to turn us to himself as well. We like the blessings, we don't like the stress, and yet I don't think if I only had the blessings and not the stress, I don't know that I would turn to God. It is only in God that we can truly be thankful. The things that we have come from the hand of God. We looked into the book of Job a little bit ago. Job said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When we are thankful in the Lord, then we can be thankful in all circumstances. Then Ephesians 5 rings true. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always giving thanks for all things to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." There's an instruction here. I'm going to go back to verse 15. Read it again. "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." When our hearts are turned toward God, then we can always find something to be thankful for. But when our hearts are turned towards ourselves, and our thankfulness is wrapped up in our blessings, our material blessings, whether it is people, family, cars, houses, jobs, money, whatever it is, we'll lose our thankfulness. Our thankfulness becomes fickle because our thankfulness is wrapped up in something that is wasting away. When our thankfulness is tied up in the Lord, it will last. We have a wonderful God that sees it when we become unthankful, and he turns us and brings us back into this thankful spirit. I remember a time, I've shared maybe bits and pieces of this with you before, but the time when we were struggling through Linda's pregnancy with Kiana, God taught me something through that process. Now there's been a few times after that where God has needed to teach me something, and I go back and I says, "Please don't give me another one of these. I don't want another one of these. Can you not bring me into this thankful state or in another way?" And God is gracious. But he wants you to be thankful. And he will use whatever is at his disposal, and everything is at his disposal, to seek to draw you into that. Thankfulness is a reflection of the condition of the heart. Or maybe it's a reflection of who has your heart. Thankfulness is a reflection of the condition of the heart, or maybe a reflection of what or who has our heart. Let me conclude with 2 Corinthians 4:14 to 18. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. "Because we know that the one who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise with us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.